Riley Gates getting ready for senior night on Saturday when K-State's going to blow out Oklahoma, and they're going to have at least a share of the Big 12 title, and Riley will be there to cover it for you with Go Powercat. How you doing, Riley?
Good. I'm honestly very afraid of what I need to say about that game on Saturday because I don't know if I've lost the bad mojo from my predictions. I don't know if I'm still in the hot water. I don't know. I don't know where I stand.
Well, you know, I guess you have to let the fans decide that. With me, I think you've redeemed yourself enough to where we could just kind of split it down the middle and say, you know, Riley, just like any prediction, you're 50-50 chance of being right or wrong, right? It's every day it's going to be cloudy, partly sunny. I mean, it's one of those types of things, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm never going to be wrong if I play right down the middle.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to say 50-50. They could and they could not.
You could be like my dad when they ever asked my dad when I was younger, well, who do you think's going to win the game? My dad would always be the smart aleck and say, the team with the most points. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's technically correct. Okay, and then just
big if true.
Yeah,
big if true.
He never lost a prediction going with that. It's amazing. except if it was in a tie, I don't know how we handled that. We never got to that point. Riley is with us, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, listen, I am thoroughly impressed with Kansas State and Texas Tech, how they've played down the stretch. And yes, K-State didn't play well at Lawrence, but most teams don't play that well there. That's the exception recently. Considering no Cartier Jada during this stretch ever since the Texas game, going on the road, going 7-2 in the Big 12, if you go 7-2 on the road in any Power 5 conference, you got a really good chance to win at least a share of a conference championship. And to go to TCU last night, which yesterday morning I was concerned about it. You talked about it last week. You were concerned about it. And then the game started and Kansas State got up early. And even though TCU made a run in the first half, and I just never felt like K-State was in any danger last night. Did you feel the same way?
No, I really didn't. You know, I thought maybe a little bit early I was a little concerned at how they came out of the gate. Not that it was bad, but I think it was just slower than I had anticipated against a pretty poor TCU team, in my opinion, pretty poor TCU team. And so I was a little concerned there, but, you know, they get up by 21 points. And, I mean, even the 9-point lead that they built up half, that was kind of the moment where I was like, okay, well, you know, it's probably just kind of roll from here. And then sure enough, it did. It got up to 21. And I felt really confident. I started doing some writing because I figured why not get a jump start on it. And then TCU goes on a 10-0 run, cuts it back down. They eventually get to 7. So, I mean, I was a little concerned at that point, just, you know, like, you know, not great. What are you doing allowing them to get back into it? But also at the same time, I knew that this team had the mental fortitude to, you know, fight off that run by TCU. It didn't really matter, in my opinion. Every team goes through those slumps, those tough stretches in every single game, and that just happened to be the one where K-State went through there. So totally concerned it would be a loss. No, absolutely not. I was just, yeah, I guess, just happy to see the way they fought back from TCU coming back and trying to make it interesting.
Well, it's been a good 3 days. You win against Baylor at home, a game where K-State jumped out to a big 24-9 lead, and then Baylor had a short lead for a while. It came back and won that one. I want to start with a couple of players on this team. Let's start with Dean Wade. I mean, Dean seemed to have some extra bounce against Baylor. I saw some bounce in his game last night, even though he scored just 9 points. You know how he is. He's not going to force stuff. But I saw him, I think after a missed shot or going for a rebound, I saw him just kind of like jumping up and down. It's almost like he said, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. If my foot's going to break down, my foot's going to break down. I can't play this way anymore, and I'm just going to let it fly. And if my foot blows out or whatever happens to it, that's what happens. He just seems to be a guy that has kind of let himself go, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they have a witch doctor or anything in the locker room, but it certainly looks like he's just suddenly kicked this injury or whatever to the curb, which is phenomenal for K-State. Obviously, you need that healthy Dean Wade, but I think, you know, I think obviously we talk about it all the time. He struggled throughout his career to really get into that aggressive mindset to get him to that point where he knows, you know, this is my game. I need to take it over. I need to make an impact. Well, you know, I don't know if a flip was switched recently or anything like that. But I think he's kind of realized, oh crap, I'm coming down the stretch here, and I need to continue to make an impact. I need to continue to be big for this team. And maybe there was a point where it hit him. I'm not sure, but I think it's one of those better late than never situations, obviously, you know, and especially in this three-game stretch here where Barry Brown has played 20 minutes of good basketball out of three games. I think it's really nice that Dean Wade has stepped up and he's made an impact for this team.
Wade has, at most, 10 games left in his career, him, Stokes, and Brown. So if there's ever a time for Dean Wade to get rid of the tentative part of his game, it's now or never, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you want to be remembered, you know, go down in your career's history, the way people remember you is the guy that didn't back down, the guy that made an impact in the NCAA tournament, the guy that was able to will you to a regular season Big 12 championship or possibly also a conference championship in Kansas City. So this is the time, if there was ever a time, I guess. I mean, obviously you would have liked to see him hit this earlier and continue it at a consistent pace, but I think it's really good to see him here. And I could be wrong again, but something tells me in my gut that Dean Wade has permanently flipped the switch, and he's not going to regress into his old self. I think he's going to have a really strong finish to his senior season.
Well, I hope so. He's a good kid, and certainly has a bright future ahead of him. I think he can play in the league, especially if he finishes strong. That would help his stock as well. Kamau Stokes, you know, he's kind of been the whipping boy for some K-State fans the last couple of years, and maybe rightfully so, maybe not. But listen, I'm impressed by what he's been able to accomplish. I mean, he's not practicing a lot from what I hear. They said last night on the TV broadcast he was suffering from migraines before the game. If you've ever had a migraine, you know that's not funny. And then Jod is not available to play. He's out with the injury, and so there's more put on Cam in regards to more minutes. And, you know, he has just flat out, you know, if he played like he did last year or even the year before, K-State's probably not in position to win the Big 12 title. Talk about his play and how important it's been with, as you mentioned, Barry Brown struggled a little bit recently.
Yeah, it's been huge, and this is so good for Kamau. I mean, if I'm going to be honest with you, Kamau's always been a kid that, you know, from day one, I wanted to see him succeed because I liked him. Something about him, maybe it was his, you know, I say cockiness, but cockiness in a good way about him that I wanted him to do well, but he continued to turn the ball over. He continued to miss shots, force things, and it was just not a fun brand of basketball to watch, but he's kicked it into gear. Obviously, I think it was that Baylor game. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, he had scored single digits in six straight games, and then he goes into Baylor in Waco, Texas, and he puts up 20 points, grabs six rebounds, dishes out four assists. I mean, that's the game that's kick-started this really nice stretch for him. And in the last eight games, he's scored double digits six times. And then the two that he didn't, it was 2 7-point outings. So Kamau Stokes is playing the best basketball of his career. And that couldn't come at a better time for Bruce Weber because, like you said, he's filling in for Barry Brown a little bit. But he's just another threat. You know, I could probably say he's the best three-point shooter on this team. You could maybe make a case for Dean Wade, I guess. But Cam can just step up and hit those shots from the outside when you definitely need it. And I think that's huge for this team and great for Cam because, you know, he's not going to have he won't be in the rafters at Bramlage Coliseum. He's not going to go down as you know, one of the most memorable, impactful players. But I certainly think that this season is going to give him a career that you're going to look back on and remember real fondly because of what he's done for this team in a conference championship run.
Have we heard anything new about Cartier Jada? Will he be back? Have you heard anything?
Nope. We asked last Thursday. Still was a little, you know, nothing really changed. On Thursday, it sounded like he was, it sounded like the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament was still the earliest time that he could get back. So, you know, we'll try to get an update on Thursday, see a little bit more. But I don't anticipate him seeing him back before Kansas City, without a doubt. And honestly, if I was a betting man, I would probably say he's not back until the first weekend of the NCAA tournament at the earliest, just because the conference tournament, it's nice, but let's be real, it does not matter. There's no reason to worry yourself about the Big 12 tournament. You've made yourself a pretty good seed already by winning or potentially winning the Big 12 championship if you get it done. So I would rather him just sit out until the NCAA tournament and be ready to go then.
How refreshing is that? Did you just hear yourself? Kansas State doesn't have to worry about anything in Kansas City. It doesn't really mean much. I mean, every year it seems for K-State, it always means the world because they need to do well to make the tournament.
It's absurd. I still can't believe they're in this position. They might be the number one overall seed in the Big 12 tournament, and this is a team that 3 years ago was playing on Wednesday, not only played on Wednesday, but got walloped on Wednesday. I can't even say, like, I cannot put into words what that means for this program, what that means for the type of turnaround that they've made, and it all goes back to that senior class. They have turned this program around so much, and they've put it back on the proper path of success, and that's all you can ask for as a K-State fan.
Well, and speaking of that, well said, all you can ask for, it's all there on a silver platter or a golden platter for Kansas State coming up on Saturday. You're at home. You're going to know exactly what you need to do. Everybody else can be in the clubhouse. You're going to know if Tech won at Ames. You're going to know if Kansas won against Baylor at home, and that game won't matter if KU doesn't win in Norman tonight. But let's say KU does win tonight at Norman. You're going to know KU's got 5 losses or they have 6. You're going to know if Tech has 4 and you need to win to get a share, or if they lose in Ames, then you can win it outright. It's senior night. I mean, everything's lining up perfectly for Kansas State. Is it almost too good of a setup?
I mean, you could say that. This is how it's set up, right? If they blow it, it's in this situation.
If they blow it, they still get a share. That's the good. I mean, you know, even if they blow it, they would still have a share as long as Texas Tech would lose.
Right. And so I think that's obviously you can't position yourself better in. And for me, it's all about kind of what you said. Everyone else in the clubhouse, you don't have to sit here and worry about, oh, did KU find a way to blow it? Or, you know, did Tech do this? It's totally in your control. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I would be concerned in a situation like that. I would be a little bit on edge that, you know, hey, I don't know if this team has it to go out there and take care of business when it's right there. But something about this team tells me that doesn't matter. I mean, let's be real. They should have been celebrating last night. They finished 7-2 on the road in the conference. They have, like we said, positioned themselves real well to win the conference, and yet they didn't really seem happy and enthusiastic in the press conference. You know, they just seemed business as usual. Hey, we still got one more. You know, it's the most commonly said thing in sports. You know, this isn't it. We're not done. Blah blah blah. Whatever. But it's real. I mean, I really think that they mean it. I think that they are taking this seriously, and I don't think that they're ready to lighten up or give in until they actually have that trophy. So I don't really have a whole lot of concerns about them, you know, being in the perfect situation and blowing it or anything like that. If there's a team that's going to come focused in a situation like this, it's this one.
As long as they stay healthy and don't get into major foul trouble, I think they'll be just fine coming up Saturday against Oklahoma, team that really they controlled down in Norman. And K-State, not that history means a lot, but K-State typically plays well against Oklahoma at home, even beat, I think, Oklahoma's number one or number two at the time back when Austin Butke played for Kansas State. I remember that was a huge deal. It's all there, and they've earned it. They've earned it. And same thing for Texas Tech. They've earned it. I mean, the way they played down the stretch and to go to Ames, but they have the tougher task, although I think Texas Tech's going to win in Ames, but certainly that looks a lot more daunting than K-State being at home against Oklahoma. All right, now what are you hearing in regards to K-State seeding for the NCAA tournament in regards to, like, if they win Saturday and they win the Big 12, whether it be a share or outright, is there a lot to be gained for K-State if they win the Big 12 tournament seed-wise, or do you think they're pretty much locked into a spot or two?
I mean, I think it depends on your definition of a lot to be gained. And I just think that perhaps, you know, I saw this morning that Lunardi bumped him up to a 5 seed, and he's had him on that 6 line for so long, which was a little bit interesting. But I've always felt like this team's ceiling was a 4, and potentially a 5 was kind of where I was betting, and that's still where I feel it. Look, if they win the Big 12 but share it with Texas Tech, and then they go lose in Kansas City, I don't think that they're going to get up to that 4 seed line. I just don't think – I think their non-conference losses are going to hold them back just a little bit too much. But, you know, if they win it outright and have a good showing in Kansas City. I'm not saying win it, but I am saying, you know, make it to the championship game or something like that. I think that you can make a case for a four. I don't think they'll fall to a six again unless they lose to Oklahoma on Saturday. Then obviously you're gonna fall down, and rightfully so. But if I'm a betting man, I'm gonna say that they'll be a five, and they could, like I said, they could climb up to a four. But I just don't see it. So not a whole lot of room. I don't see a way that they get bumped up to a three. So somewhere in that four and five range, which I think is probably right for this team. That's kind of what I would say their resume has them at.
I know this is going to sound weird to say, but wouldn't it be better, and this is assuming you make it to the Sweet 16, wouldn't it be better to be the sixth seed instead of a four or five, because then you wouldn't have to play possibly Duke or Virginia in the Sweet 16, because you're a four or five, you're going to be on the same side as a one in the round of Sweet 16. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't think you're totally off base there. I mean, I saw someone complaining about K-State's sixth seed pairing in Lenardi's bracket before he bumped him up to a five. And, you know, I was kind of looking at the situation. They were set up against a pretty bad 11 seed, and then the three seed was Purdue, which I thought was a beatable team.
Yeah.
So I think that the sixth seed is not a terrible line to be on. And obviously, to get to the Elite Eight, you only have to beat the two seed, which I know is, I say only have to beat the two seed, but to me, that's an ideal matchup. It's kind of favorable, and that 5-12, that 4-13. We know there's always one upset every single year, and it just makes you a little bit uneasy if you're there, especially for K-State, because you know they were a four seed the last time they won the Big 12 and lost to LaSalle. So, I don't think obviously you want to cheer for the highest seed possible, but I don't think it's a bad thing if they fall in that sixth line. I mean, really anywhere from 4-6, I would be happy with, because I think it creates some favorable matchups for this team.
I think seeding an NCAA tournament is some of the most overrated concocted arguments that people make just to fill a lot of time on television, because it's not, you shouldn't be so worried about your seed. I know there's a difference between a one and a three, let's say. Okay, I get that. But, and you get a 16, and before last year it was, well, that you automatically go second round. Well, that's not true anymore, because Virginia's a one, lost to a 16 last year. But I remember Wichita State, I think, I don't know if it was last year or a few years ago. It might have been a few years ago. They were whining and whining about their seed. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, look at your matchup. You have the best matchup. It's about matchups. It's not about seed. I mean, I know you don't want to have to play the 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds all the way in an NCAA tournament. I get all that. But we sometimes get caught too much up in the seeding instead of looking at how do we match up with the team that's right across from us on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think someone on our message boards he created his own prop bets for the NCAA tournament, you know, and he said, you know, he kind of listed some different scenarios, and he said, you know, yes or no, does KU make it out of the first weekend? Yes or no, does a 8 or lower seed make the Final Four or something like that? And I said, you know, I hate to be that guy, but you can't answer those questions without looking at the matchup.
Exactly.
Nobody would have anticipated, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, K-State made a run to the Elite Eight as an 8 seed or 9 seed last year. Well, yeah, but who's to say if they didn't draw a different 8, they don't lose in the first round? It's all about matchups, and I know that's it's a cop-out answer. Nobody really wants to listen to your bold predictions if you wait until the bracket comes out, but you just can't make an accurate prediction and feel good about yourself if you make it before those pairings come out.
Well, how many people last year said, oh, you know, Virginia, let's bet on Virginia to make it to the Final Four? They lost to a 16. How are you going to know K-State's going to play a 16 instead of a 1? I mean, that's why the tournament's unpredictable, and that's what makes it so special and so awesome. And it's going to be a fun tournament. I mean, there's not a, you know, Duke seems to be the team that has the most talent, but, you know, Virginia looks great, but everybody's going to keep pointing to, well, they lost the first round last year to a 16, and every once in a while they struggle offensively, although last night they were awesome. They made 18 threes. Gonzaga, you know, good team, ranked number one right now, but I don't think anybody says they're unbeatable. There's just really, unless Duke gets Zion back healthy, I think they would be the favorite by most to be picked in the brackets. But really, after Duke, and that's assuming they get healthy, and they're still really, really young, and we see teams that are really, really young go in the tournament, and a lot's expected of them, and they don't meet the expectations, This NCAA tournament is absolutely wide open, which bodes well for a team like Texas Tech or Kansas State. Defense travels, and then they get enough offense to win, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they draw some unfavorable size matchups, you know, well, you said Duke. Good luck defending Zion Williamson if he plays, but that's a different story. I just think, you know, this is a K-State team that they have the defense to, I'm going to steal a quote from Mike Boynton, you know, they can beat you in the 40s and they can beat you in the 80s, and it doesn't really matter how the game goes. They have the opportunity to beat you, which serves them so well because, you know, we just talked about how crucial matchups are, but also at the same time, matchups don't matter all that much to this team because you should be able to go out and pair up against anybody on the floor with a defense like this. So, you know, it's what's gotten you to this point, and it's what you need to continue and to keep up if you want to hopefully make another deep run in the tournament.
All right, we talked about this before. One last question for the off the wall, and that is Bruce Weber. I mean, we talk so much about Dean Wade being healthy. We talk about Stokes and what he's done, and Brown's been instrumental, and so forth and so on. But are we leaving out Bruce Weber? I mean, for him to have a team that was 0-2, down 21 to West Virginia, you and I talked about this before we came on the air today, that basically nobody would have thought they had a chance, and you know what, of maybe even making the NCAA tournament at that point, let alone winning the Big 12 outright or a share. Are we overlooking the job that Bruce Weber's done with this team?
You know, I think that right now the praise is going to the players, and rightfully so. But, yeah, I mean, maybe he's not getting the attention he deserves. And, you know, there's still plenty of weeks left in the year and then the postseason, so hopefully he can get some credit. But this is what he's been building for, you know. When the Marcus Foster disaster happened and this team was, or this program was pretty much in the tank, and there was really, he really was supposed to be gone. I mean, he was supposed to be fired, and K-State was going to hit the reset button. But he sealed this class. He found what he needed, and guys like Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes, and he built this program up, and he's built it the way he wants to. You know, in a world where teams like TCU, you know, they were allowing over 80 points a game in their last like six. Well, a lot of teams have gone to that. You know, hey, let's try to outshoot you and hopefully beat you that way. Well, Bruce Weber's gone against the grain. He's played defense. And he hasn't given in despite the fact that a lot of people around the country do that, or, you know, they go to his own defense only. So, you know, I hope that Bruce can get his rightful credit when it's all said and done. We can see how the season has ended up, but he's obviously the man that makes this work, and, you know, all the credit in the world to him. And I think it's pretty tough to make a case that he's probably not the Big 12 Coach of the Year if he gets the job done on Saturday. I mean, obviously it's probably going to be him or Chris Beard, but, you know, Bruce has done a phenomenal job this year, so we'll see how that one plays out.
All right, time for off-the-wall question. On a scale of 1 to 10 I want to revise this question a little bit. I want to change it. You're aware at Sam Paul's used to be an assistant coach at TMP with the girls' basketball program, and I don't know if technically Parker, your brother, took his spot officially or what. But anyway, Parker, of course, an assistant, has been for the TMP girls basketball program. So what I need to know is how much has that, give me a percentage-wise, of the amount of improvement from Sam Paul's to Parker Gates from a coaching perspective, or the decline with losing Sam and then Parker replacing him on staff at TMP with the girls. I mean, I don't know the records, but maybe TMP girls did better last year with Sam. I'm not sure.
Well, they went to state with Sam on the sideline.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Uh-oh.
And all I'm saying is that I don't think TMP is in state this year, are they? I don't believe that they've made it. So
the boys did, but I mean, not the girls.
And not the girls. So, you know, it's tough to compare apples and oranges. You know, I think that Sam and Parker both have their different coaching strengths and their different coaching weaknesses. Parker likes to play defense a lot, and I'm sure he coaches defense really well. And Sam can use his height as an advantage when he's coaching, and he can talk to people about size. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all based on results, if you're asking me.
Yeah.
And hey, you're not playing. I like Parker, but, you know, I need results. So I don't know. Maybe the hot seat's warming up. We'll see.
Yeah, it could be. This conversation would help that. I'm sure Parker greatly appreciates that. Uh-huh. All right, man. What are you working on the website and on Go Power Cat for everybody?
Well, you would think that this week is all about basketball, right? You know, they got a Big 12 championship on the line, and there will be plenty of basketball. But I got to tell you, I'm so excited because tomorrow morning we get to go to K-State Pro Day at the Veneer Complex and at the indoor facility. And that's the first time that we've been able to go to Pro Day in, you know, God knows how many years. Definitely the first time I've been able to in my short time here, and the first time a lot of people have been able to go since Bill Snyder kind of cut off that access a while back. So we're going to have a lot of football stuff in the next few weeks because our spring football media planning came out, and it's like 9 opportunities between now and the spring event. So we're really excited, and obviously basketball is about to make a little bit of a run here. So there's just going to be tons of stuff, and good luck keeping up with it all.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a K-State Wildcat fan, no question about it. And we'll talk next week about possibly K-State being the outright Big 12 champs. Thanks for the time, as always, Riley, and have a great week.
Yeah, man, sounds great.
Take care. Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you each and every week here on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric, residential and commercial electric service company.